Let's stand and turn to Psalms 19 as we start the service. The only announcements I have is just those that may not be aware of our modified Wednesday service right now is we have a song service, and then a brother reads the scripture and gives us a testimony or excerpt something that the Lord's laid on their heart, and then we have a prayer meeting until people are ready to leave. And then the next two Sundays is Brother Alex, and then on July 7th, Brother Stephen will be here to start ministering for at least a month. If you have any further questions, you can just talk to Steve. I'll bail that off real quick. Psalms 19, 9 through the end of the chapter. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, don't you want just to make your life like that? And make my life to be like a melody ever sound. The message of the cross, Savior, let me be like a melody ever sounding out the message of the cross. With Jesus in your heart, no discord can arise. Saddest heart to harmonize. Say, Lord, let me be like a melody ever sounding out the message of the cross. Oh, yes, make my life, hallelujah, like a melody ever sounding. Message of the cross. Savior, let me be. That's it. Ever sounding out the message of the cross. Oh, with Jesus in your heart, no discord can arise. Saddest heart to harmonize. Savior, let me be, oh, like a melody ever sounding out the message with Jesus in your heart. Oh, with Jesus in your heart. No, it can't. No discord can arise. Saddest heart to harmonize. Savior, let me be like a melody ever sounding out the message of the cross. Hallelujah, Jesus. Isn't that your heart's desire? Can't remember whoever said this, but be a testimony for Jesus every minute of the day and use words only when necessary. So make my life to be like a melody, and then we'll be salty enough that somebody will come. You know, it gets hard when you're looking for one. And that's what we're doing, and we're gleaning as the brothers come forward real quick. Don't really have any written prayer requests, but we can always, as we're praying tonight, later, just remember all the brothers and sisters here and our different ones that were through everything that may be transitioning. And the Kressels, remember them as they're traveling. They're leaving tomorrow morning. Stephen's going down too because they're going to the same place. But I think it's like Saturday or Sunday, or I don't know when he's leaving, but he's leaving at a couple days later. But that the Lord will just take care of their vehicles, keep all the deer away, keep all the other cars away, and keep them running really well. The only thing I can think of is there's some people in town that Betty and I have known over the years that just passed away for no reason. I just remember their families. Bob Estel, the one who owns the Chevy, he passed away at 64. They just had a heart attack. No one knew it. And then the one that sold our Main Street home, Dawn Carpenter, she was only in her 50s, died of colon cancer, and now her husband Bob's all alone. So you don't know. Be ready today. Watch and pray. Be ready today as Brother Steve leads us in prayer to open the service. Amen. And what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, the angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what's His name? Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. All the angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. Jesus is the God we serve. Do you do it? Jesus is the God I serve. Hallelujah. Jesus is the God I serve. All my heart, Lord. The angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. Jesus is the God I serve. And He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something raise your hands. Made me whole. Saints.
I shouldn't be surprised. Lord is pretty good about lining things up, and after hearing who am I, what he was asking me to talk about makes a little more sense. Because I'll be honest, I wasn't sure why he wanted me to talk on these things. I felt like Brother Steve talked about the present. Brother Stephen Sunday was talking a lot about, you know, kind of what the ideal, what we need to be working towards. So I was wondering, why is Lord taking me back into the past so much? And I think it's because he showed me that, well, the past ties directly into what we're dealing with now, and that the past isn't for us to look back and think, why did I do this? Why did I do this? What if I'd done this? What if I'd done that? But to look back and say, wow, I should have died there. That should have been an absolute mess. That, I don't know how that worked, but somehow you can look back and say, wow, he definitely had his hand in it, because I sure was messing everything up. And so I wanted to, can we turn to Jeremiah 1? I think it's probably pretty familiar once you see it. And then we'll look at Jeremiah 29 right after that. It's just one verse in Jeremiah 1. A lot of it really is, when you look back, you got to realize, we talk about, you know, we know he was there the whole way, that he's watched over us the whole time. Yes. A lot of times it's hard to see it when you're in the middle of the storm, looking back. You know, we all know the dream of the footsteps, right? The footsteps in the sand, that it was him carrying us when there was only one step. We know life's pretty hard, and it's not always a nice sandy beach. There's rocks, there's mountains, there's valleys, and it's hard to see the footsteps. And that's what those experiences he gave us are for, to look back and say, wait, he was still there, though. Because if he wasn't there, I wouldn't have got out of that. So looking at Jeremiah 1:5, pretty straightforward. He's talking about the prophet Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. And no, after that, he's talking about him being a prophet, but it's no less true for what he's watched out for us. And let's turn to Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's one thing to say, I think he was there, but it's another to look back and say he had to have been there. Amen. So Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray in me, and I will hearken unto you. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all your heart. I want to go back into a couple experiences I had growing up, and I want to preface this. I was not serving God at this point. And if anything, looking back at those as a signpost shows me how much care he was watching out for at that point. That there's no, I had to have been his, because otherwise, why would he have wasted his time? And so I want to start one time. I think plenty of us can talk about the time we've made a lot of bad decisions, got out into groups we shouldn't have been. Oh, sorry, you can have your seats. I think I'm just as nervous as Steve was, so pray bear with me. And I was definitely out with crowds I shouldn't be, and it was a July 4th party, and I'm out drinking with everybody. And, you know, when you're out there, you don't think nothing of it, right? Because you don't know any better. You haven't seen the truth for what it is. And you get out there, and I'm sitting there. I'm going along with everybody else, thinking it's just another Tuesday afternoon, something it was. And I want to give these examples not to say, like, oh, these were spiritual or anything like that. Just these were the most clearly supernatural things I can pinpoint in my life that he got indirectly to handle something. And I was sitting there, I was drinking with everybody else, and everyone had stepped away for a second, and I, in the clearest voice I can hear of, I heard, you need to stop drinking now. And I, part of me wonders until I got saved, I never understood why I listened. And I ended up putting my drink down, sure, being one of the guys who got made fun of. Everyone's like, what are you doing? About 45 minutes later, one of my friends at the time, we found him having a seizure at the table outside. I was the only person sober enough to drive to the hospital. If he had not intervened at that moment and said, hey, you need to stop, there is high odds one of us would have died that night. Either him because he would have made it, or I because I would have tried to help and crashed us somewhere. And looking back at that, all I can think of is at that, I know for a fact at that time, that was when Dad was trying to get me to even just go to church for someone from the college or something. He said, you just need to get out somewhere to see, find out what you don't believe. I know he'd been talking to me a little more at that point. And I think that I can look back and say that was the point Lord started trying to get in that little going on. And after that, I think Dad might even remember me stumbling in at like 5 a.m. because I'd gotten into the hospital. And he's like, what in the world are you doing? I'm like, I obviously pawned it off. You know, I said, oh, it was heat exhaustion. It was, I had to take someone to the hospital. But that was my first come face to face that, like, hey, I might be 20 something, but we're pretty fragile. There's very, very easily to die, very easy ways to die. And he intervened right there. He came on and intervened. I don't know if it was to help me, to help my friend. I couldn't even say, I don't know why. I can look back and know I heard, there was nobody standing behind me when I heard that. And it's one of those things when you look back, you're like, I don't even know why I listened, but there was just that something that's like, follow, just do what it says. And I had a similar experience with when it comes to, like I said, you know, I could have been in an accident that day. Could have been another one later on after that. At the time, we had a big snowstorm. Everything was iced over. You know, boss saying, hey, we got a training in Toledo. You need to drive up there. And I'm like, this is not good weather to drive in. But I'm like, well, I don't want to lose my job, so I'm going to drive up there. And lo and behold, someone fishtails right in front of me. I go to turn the wheel, and I do exactly what you're not supposed to do. They say you're supposed to turn the way you want to go to let the car correct itself. I didn't do that. I turned the wrong way. And I felt a physical hand grab my own and wrench it to the side to force me out of the way. I hit the person in front of me, knocked them to the right. I got control, went to the left, and a semi flew inches between us at 50 miles an hour. Another time, I could have died. And the third time, and at this point, I think this is when I can definitely say the Lord had started working on trying to get me to see that there was more going on. And even when, and these are the, like Brother Bram talked about having those tie posts, those experiences where you say, I know he was right there. These I can point back to are some of my tie posts. The third one, I, being an idiot college kid, wanted to go hang out with friends, decided to drive up 24 in the middle of a tornado siren, whiteout rain, tornado sirens going off saying there's a tornado out there. I'm panicking because I'm on the middle of 24. There is no shelter. There is nothing. The only thing I can think of, I'm at this time, I'm listening to all sorts of music. Like I'm out, I'll be doing all sorts of stuff. And all I can remember is Dad talking about, you know, when he goes down to pray, he'd put hymns on or something just to make things easier, you know, helps him calm down after work and things like that, just to set a better atmosphere. And so I was like, you know what? I can't think of anything else. I put some hymns on. At this point, just for example, I'm listening to Metallica at that point normally. And I put hymns on because I'm scared to death. And then at that moment, I watch whiteout rain shrink back to where I can see the wall about 100 feet out in my headlights. And that circle of no rain follows me up 24 all the way until I got to my friend's house at UT. Got inside, and as soon as I locked the door, the entire rain slammed down. Could have died in an accident drinking, could have had a friend die on me. I could have died in the accident. I could have been out in the middle of a tornado. At the time, I was not even serving God. And those three instances should have shown me without a shadow of a doubt that he was watching the whole time. Amen. That whenever Satan wants to come by, well, what about this time? What about, you know, you let this happen, or this went down, or these things happened. Yeah. It's like, but then why did he waste his time getting on, like dragging me essentially to safety? Amen. He got in and did it directly even. And that's all I wanted to bring that up. Like, it's not meant to be anything like supernatural or special. Like, no, it was that God cared enough that he wanted to get involved right away, because he's like, I can't let this happen. And those are the tie posts I have to go back to, because we a lot of times talk about, yeah, you know, he knows the end from the beginning. No, there's always that, you know, the pithy sayings. He knows everything, and people just say it out of rote. Sure. Not realizing, no, you need to have the time you spent with him say, no, he did know it all. He knew exactly what was going on. And realize that I definitely didn't know what was going on. Because if I kept going the way I was going, I was dead man. And yet he stepped in. I wanted to look at that from the sense that when you look back at your life and you think, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I make this decision back then? Look at all the times you should have fallen apart. All the times you had no business making it out alive. We talk about, you know, we could have been dead out on the gravestone. A lot of times, preacher will ask, you know, we could be, you know, how many times could we have died out there? And everyone will say, well, sure. But then how often are we actually stop and thinking, man, I could have died. I could have been splattered on the road. Done. No chance to figure anything out. There is no, I'll figure it out at that moment, in the moment. No, you don't have the time in that. When my wheel started going and I went the wrong way, I didn't have time to think. I didn't have time to, there was no, it was only him literally dragging me back to safety that got me out of that. And that at that point with the storm was when I started to learn, I think is when I started learning, I'm like, okay, I can't just keep, you know, playing it off anymore, because that's a little too, you can't explain a circle of safety following you for 40 minutes. You can't just pass that off as the weather, especially not right when you're like, I should play some hymns to the God I'm not even serving right now just because my dad told me to, because he said it would help. And then all of a sudden I'm safe in the middle of a tornado siren, a tornado. And it was that point when that was where I think he kind of showed me a little bit. And when I can look back and I'm like, oh, it's because I should have talked to him about things first. And that's when he started showing me that. And so I want to get away from when I was messing up because I hadn't been saved to one more incident after I'd been saved that I think, I don't even say think, that I know that was the way he'd wanted me to handle those kind of situations. I had woken up one night. I don't know why, don't have a clue. And all I knew was my entire body was burning. It felt like fire inside my skin. And I got to the bathroom, looked in the mirror, trying to figure out what was going on. And I was watching my throat visibly swell up to where I was starting to lose, being unable to breathe. At that point, I didn't remember where my phone was. I'm just sitting there. All I do is I just collapsed there. This is a few years ago now. And I just sat there at the end of bed. I said, God, if you don't help me, I'm coming to see you in a few minutes. And right then it immediately paused where it was. And I realized that's how I'm supposed to handle it. Right there, as soon as something went wrong, the first instinct was supposed to be, you need to go talk to him first, right away. We need to quit making him the last resort. And realize that he knows what's going on. He knows about it before even you get to it. He's literally just waiting, are you going to let me handle it? Because we gotta get back. He's not gonna step over. He is a gentleman. And even in the beginning when he said, hey, man, you have free will. You have the free moral agency to choose for yourself. I'm not gonna take that back. And you gotta realize that means giving up your own ideas a lot of the time when you like, oh, I wanna do this. Not gonna work out for you. And you gotta realize, okay, you know a lot better. And realize that you wouldn't get yourself into the situations we do if we just stop and talk to him for a second. And so I want to go to a quote from Brother Branham, because I think this one, it kind of goes back to the, I think he's the way, the first sentence I think is what it helps out a lot for me. It says, from Jehovah Jireh 61, see, we have to be what we are. And I want to stop on that one for a second. You got to realize that if God wanted to spend that much time taking care of you, he's not wasting his time. Amen. So quit letting it be, well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that wrong. I've been doing this, I've been doing, quit running away. Quit trying to make excuses for it. Just say, all right, Lord, you've spent this much time on me, so you must have something you want me to get done. You have something here you're getting involved in. So that means if you're getting this involved, you wouldn't be helping me if I wasn't one of your children. Which means I just have to be what I am, which is one of your children. It said, gifts and callings without repentance, when you're born in this world, before the world ever began, God knew you, positionally placed you. If that isn't so, then the Bible isn't so. That's exactly. God put our names on the Lamb's Book of Life, not when you come to the altar, but before the foundation of the world. That's right. That's what the Bible says. When was the Lamb slain? Before the foundation of the world. And the Lamb was slain, your name was put on his book. God, by his foreknowledge, saw all things. He's infinite. He knowed the end from the beginning. That needs to be a reality. And I wanted to kind of give some of the examples I've dealt with that have helped make that a reality to me. That I can look back on those times where I was being really stupid. I should have died. But because I was one of his, he wasn't going to let it happen. And realize that even when I was out there doing all those, and that if he cared enough to get involved then, that means he had to have been watching the rest of the time. Because that accident was 3 seconds. If he wasn't watching all the time, he wouldn't have caught me. He wouldn't have been able to get involved if he wasn't watching the whole time. So God, or Dad, as you would, want to talk to sing for something. So all I guess for my testimony, I wanted to maybe provide what I have learned from those is when you're looking back, you know, thinking, what about this? What should I have done differently? Don't look at what you could have done, what you should have done, what did happen in the sense of, oh, I need to be better about this. Just look back and be like, well, God took care of this. God took care of that. He took care of these. And I wasn't even doing what I should have been at the time. And then he's still taking care of me just the same. It's just now I'm more aware of it. So if he's actually been there the whole time, why do I think he's just going to step out? Why would he waste his time? And so I guess I had a title, but I didn't really start with it. But like I said, how a lot of times life is not always an easy beach to walk on. You know, nice sand and you know, so they're cool waves. It's rocky, it's gravel, there's all sorts of stuff, and it's kind of hard to see footsteps on rocks. And so you got to remember, look at those experiences where you say, well, I know God was there right then, then realize his footsteps have always been there, whether you could see him or not. And just focus, because at the end of the day, those footsteps are what stopped you falling off the cliff. So, Dad, if you could, I think it's F, learning to lean.
Learning to lean, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I am finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
One more time.
Oh, learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to
go ahead and turn to prayer and spend some time talking with him.